What else have you done 200 times?
Brush my teeth.
That's it.
Read my Bible.
How many of the 200 episodes have you personally hosted?
Ooh, that's a very good question.
I only ask good questions.
Welcome to The Weekly, a podcast brought to you by Calvary Bible Church. I'm your host, Jay Ewing. Thanks for tuning in. Like always, do me a huge favor. Visit calvarybible.com, click your campus, and find out what is happening in your neck of the woods. Get connected and stay connected by visiting calvarybible.com. So many great things happening this spring here at Calvary, and I want you to be paying attention. So visit calvarybible.com. All right. Today we have a great joy. It is the 200th episode of The Weekly, and I have John and Thomas here. 200.
What else have you done 200 times?
Brush my teeth.
That's it.
Read my Bible.
How many of the 200 episodes have you personally hosted?
Ooh, that's a very good question.
I only ask good questions.
I had a sabbatical where Patrick, hosted for a few episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, the Canadian, has hosted.
It's an international podcast.
Yeah, international podcast. You two have hosted one time. The best episode.
Really?
The best episode that is in The Weekly is John and Thomas doing The Weekly, and there's 15 minutes of them talking about their lawns. So, for my British friend who listens,
I don't remember that.
The British friend who listens, you would hate that episode, but it's a classic.
Brits I think they love would, their lawns, man.
I know. It's like an English garden.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I would like to say that since then, my grass is extremely green.
Yes.
And in fact, in my whole neighborhood, my neighbor's grass is all dead. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Mine is lusciously green.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And so lusciously plastic.
It may be artificial. Yours is green?
Yours is green?
Yeah.
Did you drop Milorganite on it?
No. Not this season. Yeah. Last season I did.
Is Milorganite illegal now to it's use?
Possible.
Okay.
I don't know. If my wife knew what was in Milorganite, it would be outlawed on our property.
I feel like I'm about to see federal charges brought against John Boyle. Oh, that's so good.
For an iridescent green lawn.
Yeah. Mm. That's awesome. Okay, it's 200 episode. Thomas, do you remember the first episode of The Weekly?
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
I mean, we started this in COVID. This was a way for us to connect with people.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't remember the first episode. What happened? Tell me about it.
Well, the first episode, we actually never released to the public.
Oh, really?
The first three episodes. You were like, hey, let's get some reps, which was very wise.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
And let's just bury those episodes.
Do you have them in the vault?
I do have them.
It's like the Disney vault.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You could release those episodes and Pocahontas.
I would hate to go listen to myself in those episodes. That'd be very discouraging, I bet.
What do you think, in terms of the listening audience?
Yes.
Who do you think there's someone who's listened to every 200, all 200 episodes? I would love to hear from them if they exist in the world.
Okay.
Like, send me an email. If you have listened to more than 175 episodes of The Weekly.
I think I can name five people that have listened to at least 150 episodes.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can name
I'd love to know that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's what I want you to do. That brings me to our giveaway today.
Whoa. Giveaway.
We have a rare bird giveaway here. We have a Calvary pin. Was this before your lifetime, John? Or is this
lifetime?
Your lifetime of Calvary staff. This pin right here.
What does it say on the back?
Calmia Avenue, Boulder, Colorado.
Okay, so I recall that pin. I think I started in the purple pin age.
Purple pin age.
I believe.
This is the blue pin age.
Yeah.
And for the 10th person that writes John to tell him how many episodes they have listened to, we will gift this to you. I'll send it in the mail. Thomas will sign a letter that says happy birthday, Thomas. And we will get this to you in the mail.
Here's what's amazing about that pen. Yeah. And all Calvary pens. It's like the widow's oil jar.
Yes.
That thing is from the early 90s.
It still writes.
Yeah. It still has ink in that thing.
They're great pens.
It's a great pen.
It's a great pen. That is very true.
We also have a collection of pens here, Jay.
We do have a collection of pens. We've shown this on the podcast before.
Oh, we have. Okay.
Yeah. We did this maybe last year in an episode. We have all the pens that I know of, except for this white whale called the Rainbow Pen of Calvary Bible Church, which I have looked for at least 7 years. I've been in junk drawers. I have begged people. When people move that have been at Calvary for a very long time, I'm like, I can help because I'm going to go.
You're looking in their couch cushions.
Yeah, totally. For the white whale. This is my earliest collection of the Calvary pen.
You think that's the earliest one?
This is the one I know of.
Can I be honest with you about something? I worry that someday in the future, people will look back and say, when did Calvary Bible Church begin its decline? And the answer will be when they started collecting pens and putting it into a display case.
Why is that?
That just feels a little strange.
No, this is a great hobby.
It's an interesting hobby.
This is, actually Thomas bought this.
Do you remember this pen? This pen, I think, used to be in the registry.
Yeah, totally. This was in the friendship registry that we would pass every service.
Yeah. Yep.
And we would ask people to sign in.
Yep.
And God bless some people. People who would come to church every Sunday would write their address and telephone number in the friendship register every week.
Yeah.
Faithfulness to the Lord.
Oh my gosh.
Faithfulness to the Lord.
Yeah, that
I wonder what famous people used that
slid right in there. Yep. That's exactly where that one was from.
The most unique pen in this collection actually is not a pen, but it's a highlighter.
Yeah, that was great. I love
this. This is a commemorative edition highlighter because this is the first sermon series that Thomas preached in the Mark It Up series.
Mm.
There was a pink one too.
Yeah, there's a pink one.
Yeah.
There. I got the pink one as well.
I was really sad when my pink and yellow Calvary highlighters ran out. They don't last as long as the pens.
No, the pens are.
No, these are made of the earth. These are made of the spiritual world and how long they last for us.
Yeah, there was an error in there. It wasn't so great. It's like an 80s Mustang. It's like we try to forget we ever made that. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
This is a wannabe pen.
That was a mistake. It has like a stylus on it.
Yeah, we've had some dark days of pens here at Calvary, but we've had some glorious ones. Finally, John, I do want to highlight one of the commemorative edition.
Yeah.
That was worthy.
Yeah.
135 years.
This pen.
That's a great one.
This is a great pen. I actually have a few stashed away so that in 50 years, someone can stumble upon
it. You know, I don't know if this happens across all campuses, but at the Boulder campus high school students like to take the two blue pens that we have.
Yep.
One of them has like a navy body and light blue tips. The other one has light blue body, navy tips, and they like to take them and combine them into one
super pen.
Super pen. And my son Cooper was cleaning out his room, and I was in there with him last night, and I noticed on his desk he has a super navy Calvary pen that he just treasures because he has compiled that together.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So what those are also special editions. Yeah. It's basically combined. It's
great. I mean, you talk about the decline of Calvary. I think about the goodness of Calvary, that this is sort of a cultural maker. It's our Calvary pen.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
I hope so.
I mean, look at your son. He's combining to make a super pen.
Right.
Like, we're talking about this.
Yeah.
A church pen, people. I tell people at Starting Point, you know you are a family member at Calvary when you can go to your junk drawer and find at least three Calvary pens.
Of different
then you,
eras.
You
of different
can
eras,
say,
yeah.
I go to Calvary.
That should be the new answer. It's like when you ask, how long have you been coming to Calvary?
Yeah.
Since the purple pen. Yeah. Since we switched over to the blue pen.
That's great. Oh, the 200th episode is really fun. We did start this in COVID. And there was a couple episodes even we filmed in opposite rooms with glass in between us. because there might have been exposure early in the COVID season.
I'm so glad we're in one room together.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. We've also been in the digital space. We've gone digital. Yeah. We've gone video.
We did the international one where you were.
We have done an international
in Turkey.
Yeah. We've had some great guests.
I didn't appear on that one, but I was, you were there. I was there. I watched it. That was.
So this is like an internationally syndicated show.
I guess you said it.
That's great.
Also, we've had some great hosts along the way and some great guests along the way.
Do you have a surprise? And like you're going to bring them in one by one? No.
It's like the Merv Griffin show?
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite might be when we had Wawa on the weekly.
Oh, yeah.
This last year. That was a pretty special moment for us here on the weekly.
Why don't you tell the audience who Wawa is?
Wawa is the president of Step Seminary of Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Yeah.
And we were blessed enough for them to be able to travel to the United States to have a week with them. We're having them to preach. And then he was on the weekly. So we've had Tom as senior pastor and emeritus now. We've had Thomas as your campus pastor, now senior pastor. And one time I got John's title wrong once.
Did you?
On the weekly. Yep.
Did you call him the head of the 6-8 project weekend?
Thomas, that's unfair.
We've had a lot of guests. I mean, think about when the ladies took over the podcast
A
few weeks ago. That might be the number one podcast I ever listened to.
That might be up there now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, we should have asked the producer, what is the number one podcast?
He's on it.
He's on it.
Yeah.
The Canadian is working. So it's good. All right, John.
Yeah.
To kick off the 200th episode, we've asked you to give us a little Calvary history quiz between the senior pastor and the dude who doesn't know what the Project 6-8.
Okay.
I can guarantee you, you're going to do well.
It's 6-8 project. I was just letting him do it.
Okay. Well, considering that this is a podcast, I just wanted to start with a couple quiz questions related to podcasts in general.
Okay.
That'll kind of warm you up.
This is the only podcast I know that exists.
Okay.
That's unfortunate.
So before we jump into some Calvary history, I'm curious if you know. What are we doing? You guys are competing to answer the question?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So whoever wins gets to keep their job.
Answer it first? Okay. Yeah, if you get any wrong, you're fired. Okay. When was the term podcast first coined? What year?
2009.
Okay.
2011.
Okay. You are both wrong.
Okay.
The correct answer is 2004.
Well, that's early.
With the it's Apple, right?
Yeah. So that would be the second question. Where did the word podcast come from?
The Apple universe.
But how?
Probably their iPod. And it was like maybe a show on their iPod.
Yeah, probably.
Is that
I would agree close? With that.
Yeah, it is a... I don't know how to pronounce this word. A portmanteau. You know what I'm talking about? A portmanteau. Thank you,
Mark. A word that John didn't know.
Well, I just didn't know how to pronounce it. A portmanteau is when you combine two words into a new word.
Ooh.
So iPod and broadcast
became the podcast.
Became podcast in 2004.
That's amazing, John. I really appreciate that.
Okay, now we're going to shift.
Remember your iPod? How cool that was?
Yes.
Yeah, I could put 32 songs on this thing. And it didn't skip like
No, it
Walkman.
Was 1,000 songs in your pocket.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
1,000 songs?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your favorite song to play on your
iPod?
iPod. What's the one that probably, if we had a look back in ancient time, what's the number one place?
I'd probably be embarrassed to say what it was, to be honest with you. I may not want to say it publicly.
Yeah, no, that's I get that.
That was a long time ago. I was not fully transformed by Jesus.
Never mind.
Okay, what year did Calvary Bible Church start podcasting?
2020.
That is incorrect.
2021?
No. Calvary Bible Church has been podcasting since 2005.
Oh, because of the sermons.
Yeah.
No,
can you believe that? Think about this for a moment. Yeah.
I feel like I got
the term, the word podcast.
Nothing existed before Jay and I started.
Is invented in 2004, and we were podcasting
on the
in 2005.
That's probably got to be because of you, right?
You're pretty tech savvy.
Yeah, that was because of you.
But yeah, one of my favorite.
Here's one of my favorite John Boyle stories.
Yeah, I love this story.
I don't know what year it was, and you suggested that we buy the domain name CalvaryBible.com. And someone asked you, like, why would we do that? And you said, I think the internet's going to be around for a minute. And they said, well, how much does it cost? And you're like, what was it, $200 or something?
Yeah, it was more than that.
It was like 2000, right?
I think it was 1500.
And
for CalvaryBible.com.
Yes. And people were like, that's obscene. Yeah. There's no way we're going to spend $1,500.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you convinced them, because otherwise we'd be like CalvaryBible_ Erie Thornton Boulder.
Yeah, Jay's little intro would roll off his tongue.
Hey, that is one of the best John Boyle stories.
Oh my gosh,
When the dinosaurs roamed the earth, you suggested this.
CalvaryBible.com belongs to John Boyle.
You know, I bet we spend $1,500 just on coffee alone every week on all three campuses.
I'm not sure about that. But
maybe there's probably 600.
Probably not.
It's a lot of coffee.
It is a lot of coffee.
We started podcasting in 2005.
Yeah.
So basically, we're the pioneers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We trailblazed.
Yeah.
Early adopters.
Really.
On the distribution curve. Yeah.
All right. So are you ready for some Calvary history?
Yes.
What is the official date, month, day, year of Calvary Bible Church's founding?
It's
January.
Yeah, it is definitely.
3rd, 1889. Is it January or is it June?
I think it's December.
No. No, it's June. June something, 1889.
What is it?
January 2nd.
Dude, you were so close.
1889.
Why did I get,
Yeah, why'd you get?
Off by a day, but Price of Right rules, you would have lost.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's true. Do you know what also happened in 1889? Was the Eiffel Tower opened up.
Really?
Yeah, it was in commemoration of Calvary Bible Church.
Yeah.
I love that.
They're like, we should build a tower in France.
I hope that's going to be on our socials this week. I really do. Lord Jesus.
Okay, we're at the Erie campus. What year did the Erie campus officially begin?
The year it began.
Yeah. When did the Erie campus start? Before or after
2006.
Calvary Bible Church started podcasting?
Yeah, 2006, because we just celebrated the 20th.
Exactly.
Yeah. On Easter Sunday.
Well, it was the 20th Easter. The official day was April 16th.
Oh, nice. Which is Easter. It opened on Easter.
Yeah, yeah.
However, we had two quiet, soft launches the week before that was for Calvary folks only to make sure we were all set.
Sweet.
But yeah, 20 years of the Erie campus. That's amazing.
Congratulations, Erie.
20 years.
That's a pretty cool thing.
Okay, what was the name of our first full-time pastor at Calvary Bible Church? First full-time pastor.
I can see him on the wall.
That's Oscar.
Yep,
it is Olander.
Boom! Is that right? Thomas, yes.
Yeah. That's why he's a senior pastor.
Yeah, because that's...
No, because there's a video that you made, John, and it was like, Oscar. Calvary Bible Church.
It's a great video.
It is a great video. It has like the radio voice.
It needs Thornton on it, and then it'd be a perfect video.
Yeah.
It's a great video.
Can you name three other senior pastors that have served at Calvary?
Yeah, we got Culbertson.
What's Robert, Pastor Culbertson's first name?
Bob,
correct?
Bob Culbertson. Tom Shirk.
Oh, good.
Oh, nice. Good memory.
Yeah.
Remember who was before Bob Culbertson? Dick Houser.
That is right.
Yeah. It was a Houser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what years he was the senior pastor? Houser?
If I were to take a guess, it'd be like 72 to 78.
No, that would have been Culbertson.
Oh, it would have been?
Mm-hmm. 61 to 68.
61 to 68.
Yeah.
My favorite
decade earlier.
My favorite story from that era is Dan Houser talking about on Saturday nights they would have to come in and clean the church before Sunday morning.
Oh, man.
So the senior pastor was responsible with his kids to come clean the church.
Just think about all the wonderful people who have done things like that.
Yep.
And here we are sitting on a couch talking about pens. Like, what a blessing.
What a blessing. True.
Is this what they envision in the future?
I hope so.
I imagine.
They're not going to be disappointed at all.
What year did Tom Shirk become the senior pastor?
92.
93. I think he's called 92.
93.
92, he was the... associate pastor.
Correct.
Sorry, got that wrong.
Who are the reigning champions of the Calvary Staff Pickleball Tournament?
John Boyle and Kristen Whoop.
That's correct.
Yeah, I know that for sure.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That was crazy that we did a pickleball tournament at the church. Yeah. And I'm glad someone didn't tear their Achilles.
Yeah,
we did not warm up whatsoever.
I did a lot of stretching. I was very nervous.
Yeah.
I think what's fun is whenever we do these competitions, the staff that are normally, like, I just call them docile, like, oh no, after you, become the most competitive people I've ever seen. And you're like, where did that come from? Yeah. They're like in their suit and tie sweating through to win the game.
Yep. How many times has Boulder Campus won the Calvary Cup? Is that a trivia question coming up?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, actually. But we are the current.
The reigning.
Yeah, the cup resides on the Boulder campus.
Yeah. That's great. That was a great look. I wish you could have seen that in radio.
Weren't you on my team last year that
we lost?
Oh, that's right. We got
second. I was on your team, and I'm
but
the
we were
you
really
lost.
Close.
Were yeah. you?
Oh, yeah, we got second.
Yeah, if they didn't have me.
Yeah.
They would have won.
They needed one more.
Yeah, I was holding back.
Now we need to convert two more birdies or get an eagle. We didn't do that.
Yeah.
But mark your calendars, July 23rd, the Calvary next, Cup. That'll be great.
Next edition. Fourth annual? Third annual? Fifth annual?
It's not really annual, but this would be the second in a row.
Triannual.
But we've done it many times. Okay, how many families started Calvary Bible Church and what country were they from?
Sweden.
Correct.
And five families.
Okay.
The Osbournes,
the Wernsons, the Andersons, Andersons, or something.
Yeah.
Okay, name the streets, the intersection of our original Boulder location, like the first building that Calvary owned and operated, ministered out of. I don't
know. It's like Balsam.
Balsam. It has a
and
third?
Spruce.
Spruce. I thought it was a number.
Is that right? Yeah.
17th and Spruce.
17th and Spruce. Oh, wait, it was a number. Good job.
This is really fascinating, actually. Yeah. If you ever go to our history wall, there's a picture of that building. And if you drive to, the next time you're in downtown Boulder, seriously, drive to 17th and Spruce, and that building is still there. It's kind of been converted into, like, apartments or something. Hmm. But it, like, you look at it and you're like, oh, yeah, that is the original church building.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We should buy that back.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but you know, on 28th, also, if you go to our history wall, there's a picture of one of our founding families in front of their house.
Yeah.
And that house is still
on
28th. It's at like 28th and Arapaho, just south of that.
Okay.
Just south of 28th and Arapaho?
Yeah. It's like this, I think it's like the.
Like by the old Millennium Hotel?
Across the street from it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still standing. It's like the, I can't remember what, it's like some nonprofit organization that's in there. But I've often thought, like, should we just buy that?
Yeah.
Like, that is like.
That's really cool.
That would be cool. We could put like a museum there. We can put the pens.
That's right.
We could put the pens in the building.
Jay could sit there and tell people about the pens.
You know, you make fun of me, but someday you're going to want these pens for the history wall.
Oh, okay.
It might be past your time, John, but it'll be there.
In what year did we begin having all Calvary worship services in English and no longer in Swedish? What year was that?
1948.
I think it has to be before the war. 40.
It was 19. What'd you say?
43.
You are correct.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We joined the EFCA in 1948. That was when it was created.
I think it was actually in the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Free Church existed and there were two. They were basically called the same thing, like merged together, and that's where the modern day Evangelical Free Church of America began.
Yeah, they're from Sweden.
Yeah, we were part of that from the beginning.
That's super cool.
So, well, there you go. There's some history.
Cool. You know that those Swedish immigrants during D.L. Moody's preaching would read his sermons translated into their language.
Wow.
In Sweden. They never had met him. Mm-hmm. And that's how they formed the idea of the EFCA when they came to the United States.
Wow.
From his sermons that they would be read.
And some of the earliest ones were in like Denver, Colorado, correct?
Right. The first one is actually in Denver, Colorado?
I think so.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In the Evangelical
Heritage
book.
Yeah. Yeah. And the first missionary in the EFCA was a woman.
that was supported by the EFCA.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know less about the EFCA history than the Calvary.
Well, history. I just read the book this last year, so
yeah, I'm
sort of fresh in the mind. Well, thanks, John, for that trivia. And for our listeners for enduring that trivia, I hope you benefited from it as much as we
have. What percentage of people that started the podcast with us today have retained
or are currently listening?
Well, they're just hitting the 30-second button over and over, waiting for us to get to the sermon, which we do. This podcast is designed, as Thomas has said, to connect your real life live to what we preach on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some words like that.
Do you have an answer for us on most popular episode?
So,
okay, you probably got to cut out a bunch of that, but September
2025.
John chapter 3, Jay and Thomas is the most popular one on YouTube.
Mm. On YouTube. Yeah.
The YouTubes.
YouTubes. Mm. Interwebs. Well, thanks, guys, for, I guess, let me celebrate the podcast, the 200th episode, the way I would like to celebrate it. Now, let's move on to our sermon series, Teach Us to Pray. We got both of you here. I think it'll be a really fun conversation to talk about. This series, we are looking at New Testament prayers. We start off where we should start off, Jesus. And Jesus teaches his disciples when they ask, teach us to pray. And so we've started off in the Lord's Prayer. And let's start there. What do you think is so important about the Lord's Prayer?
Well, one thing I would start with is, I think it's really important to learn how to pray. Yeah. Do you remember who taught you how to pray, Jay? Or where did you pick it up from?
I learned it as a kid from hearing others pray.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Totally.
Who were some of those like historical people?
My grandmother, my parents, people like that.
Yeah.
Early in my childhood.
Do you remember who taught you how to pray?
Yeah, we were talking about this at our staff meeting in Boulder yesterday. And, you know, actually the Lord's Prayer, the church I grew up in, we would pray out loud the Lord's Prayer at every worship service.
Yep.
So that is one of the like formative prayer experiences of my life, is like memorizing, learning, speaking the Lord's Prayer. And then I just think, you know, throughout my life, I've had so many people who I've learned from, watched. Mm-hmm. But that was a really formative experience for me.
Yeah. What about you, Thomas?
I think that's true. Similar. We would pray the Lord's Prayer and do it from a very young age, before I even knew what all the words meant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, listening to people pray, praying with people, you know, because as you're listening to them speak with God, you're going, oh my goodness, that's different than how I talk to God.
Right.
But yeah, that was formational, of always listening to somebody pray.
Yeah. That is the beginning of prayer, I think, is listening how someone prays, which is so important that Jesus teaches them.
Right. The
disciples are listening.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the Lord's Prayer? What was sort of the thing you're like, wow, I love this, as you were preparing for the sermon of the Lord's Prayer this time around?
I think was one thing that kind of caught me off guard was there's a lot of people that don't think you're supposed to pray the Lord's Prayer. Like, it's just, you're not supposed to pray rote, you know, prayers that other people have prayed. It's just an example of how to pray. I was a little surprised by that, because I regularly pray the Lord's Prayer, specifically with my kids at night, you know? I think that was one of the things that just caught me off guard was, whoa, people don't actually think you should pray this in like almost a verbatim way. Mm-hmm. Now, I would agree that it is the most beautiful framework for prayer.
Mm.
Like, when Jesus gives an example of how to pray, like, I don't think he's actually missing anything in the Lord's Prayer. I think it's an all-encompassing prayer of anything that we would potentially be asking for, connecting with God with, is summed up in the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. So it becomes the scaffolding to build a prayer life off of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that language you use this time around, the scaffolding to prayer. I think that's super helpful for us. Those who are unfamiliar on how to pray or think their praying is inadequate, that's a helpful sort of tool. John, what's your reflections on the Lord's Prayer? What caught you off guard this time around?
I don't know if anything caught me off guard, but it's just so helpful to see the balance even in the first verses of like, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. like that juxtaposition of like, we have a relationship with a person who has a name, who lives in a reality that is distinct and separate from ours, and yet is engaged in what happens in our world. And he is set apart, and he is holy, and he is distinct and different. And yet we can come to him and ask for something as simple as, I need bread today. Like that is a different conception than some other world religions conceive of what an all-powerful creator might be like.
Yeah.
You know, that God is in a category all by himself, but he is completely and totally approachable. Mm-hmm. We can ask him for, you know, what at sometimes might feel like a simple thing, at other times might feel like a desperate need, mm-hmm. of, I need bread today, you know? That's amazing.
Yeah. I think out of the whole prayer, the phrase, praying for our daily bread, is so foreign to us.
Yeah.
Where we live in society, mm-hmm. how we live in the world today. However, it is super formative for us to pray for our daily bread. And it may not be literally bread today, but it is something of a need that we do need today.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was an important part, distinction. That's like the most foreign part of this prayer.
Yeah.
I think as we read it in today's
world. That's a good reminder though, because that is like a way that we build faith, is we think about what we need from God today. And in the first century context, for many people, it was, I literally need food.
Yeah.
For us in our reality, that might not be the case. It may be in some, but there are things that we need every day. And it's like, what do I need today? And let tomorrow worry, you know, tomorrow's troubles, leave it for tomorrow. What do I need today, God? Mm-hmm. That's a great way to build your faith, through prayer.
Yeah. Okay. I would love your insights on, like, did Jesus make up this prayer? Like, it is his prayer. But is this like something new that he's creating, or is this a reality in which the people of God have always been invited to pray? What's your insights?
Yeah, some people look at it and they're like, oh man, this is a revolutionary new way to approach God, and you're going to approach him as Father. I don't think so. I think that is a very Jewish way, actually, of approaching God, since this is like a callback to the Exodus story. I think Father's actually the title that they're crying out to, like a father brought them out of slavery, as the father provided bread in the wilderness, as the, you know, as God's like keeping them from temptations in the wilderness. All of that is father figure. So they have prayed to God as Father, but I think what he is doing is he's crystallizing for them their relationship with God. And it's not so much that you pray to a God, is that you pray and that you are with a God. You're in communion with a Father. Like, this is a familial, you know, conversation that's happening. Mm-hmm. I think what's amazing is that Jesus, who prays to my Father, my Father, my Father, then just incorporates them and says, all right, our Father, like, I am bringing you into the family through the work of the cross, and we will call out to the Father together. Yep. That's incredible. Yep. So, yeah, I think he's taking what has been known in their prayers and crystallizing it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
The our in our Father means it's a collective community thing.
Yeah.
That we share mutually in this Father. And I like what John said, like, even his earliest memories, recollection, is a church that prayed it weekly, which is part of what prayer is. Prayer in isolation is okay. Prayer in community is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we step into community and step into a Sunday morning, and I have to pray the Our Father who art in heaven with everyone else, my language for the day might not have been there. But the reality is my language needs to get there, and the community helps me get there. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So there's something really beautiful about your earliest memory of church life.
Totally.
Or even tucking your kids into bed. You know, I think,
When you pray it with your kids, do you pray it, thy will be done? Or what kind of language do you use?
This is always whenever we pray it at Calvary, we're like, okay, you need to explicitly tell people.
Which are version going, trespasses, are we
trespasses, we going debtors, we going sinners.
We're going trespasses.
Are we going thy or your? Yeah.
This is trespasses is the standard at Calvary, just like the pin.
You think so? I feel like when you're doing it corporately and you say trespasses, it's like so much.
Yeah.
it's hard.
A lot of S's floating.
There are. Yeah, there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
I think debtors is the way to go. But thy will be done. Yeah, it's pretty formal.
Yeah.
But we use debtors, not trespasses.
Okay.
But to your point, the whole prayer is plural, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's give us
right
our daily bread. Forgive us, you know, as we forgive.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is to call you into the community of believers, which is remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll pray it pretty, you know, verbatim on most nights as they get tucked into bed. And then sometimes we just use it as the framework.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Lord, we need help today. We need help tomorrow.
Right.
Would you, you know, whatever issue is, you know, being dealt with, we'll present that in prayer.
Yeah. I love the idea, and I don't know if it's helpful all the time, but to tell people who are like, I don't know how to pray, Pastor, how do I pray?
I'm
like, pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day and then move away from it after you realize you've put it in your own language.
You've internalized it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like
that's why
you start to change the verbiage because you prayed it so much, mm-hmm. and it's something within you that's coming out.
Yeah.
But you know, that sounds pretty religious and legalistic, but I think it's a reality. Like the Lord's Prayer is there to teach us to pray.
And we need to be taught.
Yeah.
That's it.
We have to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not something that we should assume just comes naturally.
Totally. And if it's the thing that Jesus told us to do, let's go with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's a good, I think what makes it such a great framework is it does balance like exalting mm-hmm. and declaring who God is and bringing our needs to him.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things ought to happen in prayer.
Yeah.
You know?
So say someone at Calvary wants to deepen their prayer life through this season of this, what are the things, sort of the tools and the tool shed you would give them going into deepening their prayer life?
I mean, I would encourage you to be in church on Sundays. We're not going to go through all the prayers of the Bible. We're not even going to really dip into the Psalms, which is like the prayer book of the Bible. But we're going to look at 7 distinct prayers of the New Testament and just peer into other people's prayer lives. Like we all mentioned how we learn to pray by listening to other people pray in our life. This is another way of learning and understanding what prayer is.
Yeah.
So even this week, we're going to go to Luke chapter 1 and look at Mary's mm-hmm. prayer. Now, if you look in your Bible, the headline says Mary's song.
Yeah.
And so, well, what is it? Is it a song or a prayer? And it's like, yes.
Yeah.
This is a category of prayer that most people don't recognize as prayer of praise, you know? So we're going to unpack several of these that will expand, I think, just your categories of what prayer is. Because I mentioned this in Erie, first and foremost, prayer is communion with God and formation.
Mm-hmm.
And so learning how to pray deepens our communion with him. And then it forms us, like how we think about ourselves, about God, about others. Perry did a great job in Boulder talking about when you are outside of the world, so to speak. He's looking at Artemis II astronauts coming back, and you can't even put things into word, but because your perspective changed. Like you come back to the world, and everything is fundamentally different. Though the world itself hasn't changed, you have in such a profound way that you don't even gauge the world the same. And that's prayer. Prayer is a way in which you get connected to the living God, and everything about life changes, though the world seems to be somewhat the same. So I would say be around these 7 prayers. It's gonna broaden the category of what prayer is.
Yeah. John, what do you think? What would be your pastoral advice or wisdom?
Obviously, it would be dependent upon where they're at. Right. If it's like, I have no experience praying, I think your suggestion of like, hey, jump in, try the Lord's Prayer. I think practicing as we go through and learn from different people in the scriptures and different examples of how to pray, I think practicing praying in that way can increase your understanding of what it means to be a prayer, because there are all mm-hmm. different types of praying and ways you can pray, and experiencing types that maybe you're unfamiliar with are great. And, you know, Mary's song, prayer, whatever it is, you know, you might, if that's a new idea for you, if you think like, well, a song isn't the same as a prayer, I would encourage you on Sunday morning when you're here, like be thoughtful and prayerful as you are singing some of the songs we're singing together.
Mm-hmm.
And help the Lord shape your heart so that experience can be prayerful for you, not just I'm singing.
Yeah.
But think about like, no, I'm saying these things to God.
Yeah.
And that's like probably what Mary did in the Magnificat, you know? Like that's a cool experience. And you need to try those things to sort of grow your prayer muscle.
Yeah. I think when you understand that what we do on Sunday morning is we just sing prayers together before we open God's word, it will change how you view what we do on Sunday morning and how you internally process. You're not thinking about, oh man, music is awful, the drummer didn't come in. You're thinking about, I am praying to God and my life goes vertically
in
these moments. So yeah, that's a really good insight. If you've been praying for a long time, like decades, years of praying, I think sort of have a category to at least every other year read a book on prayer as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you need a new way of praying, but I always find something, at least in the book I read on prayer, to be helpful or to reorient my heart to the reality of prayer. And there's some great books on prayer. There's some okay books on prayer, but at least have it in front of you, maybe even a missionary biography on how they prayed.
Right.
And it's not that you want to do exactly what they do, but you want to learn what type of heart it requires to engage God in.
Yeah.
More important.
You don't want to feel like you've arrived
right
in your prayer life.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The most people that I know who are, I would call, spiritual prayer, we sometimes say prayer warriors around here, but people who prayed for decades, they would say, I'm just beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a reality, too. Mm-hmm. Prayer is such a fascinating thing because, like you said earlier, every culture has a version of prayer in so many ways. What do you think is the marker from someone who prays to someone who prays to Jesus?
Yeah, I think prayers essentially are the cry of the heart, right? You're crying out for helps in some capacity, or like I'm trying to connect with something that's bigger than me, has maybe a strength beyond my own strength. The difference is prayers of like a humanistic way of like mindfulness, or in a Hindu way of like out to the universe. The difference is Christians are praying not to something, but to someone.
Yeah.
There's an individual in their mind in which hears their prayers. And I just think that is fundamentally different. Is that there's a creator who made them, who wants to be connected to them, who's aware of them, and wants them to be connected to him. And so the Christian is saying, I want my life to be intimately connected, in communion with the maker of the world. That's totally different.
Yeah.
Than trying to beckon someone, get someone's attention, or something, or some power source in which enables you. It's like, no, I'm connecting in relationship.
Right.
To God, who is Father.
Yeah. That's really good.
Which means that we can listen for his voice.
Yeah.
And that we would expect that there would be a back and forth, which isn't probably going to be audible.
Yeah.
But like we have his word, we spend time meditating on it. We're, you know, always praying. And you expect that is a process, like communicating with a person is.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't just, as my friend, I don't just go to you and tell you a bunch of things and then walk away.
Right.
Like I want to hear from you. And I, you know, there's a dialogue and
I was talking to one of my kids. We were going to one of their practices about prayer because they were asking like, does prayer work? Cause I've asked some stuff and I didn't get it, you know, which I think is most people's question. Like probably one of two things: does prayer work? Cause I asked for things and didn't happen. And two, if God knows everything, why pray? And so we're trying to put in like three different categories of relationship. One is we're driving to practice and we're enjoying conversation. And so, you know, he's presenting maybe some requests or I'm presenting some requests. And so it goes this back and forth of like, I'm speaking, you're listening, you're speaking, I'm listening. And then I just mentioned, but you know, sometimes we don't say anything on the way to practice and you sit there and I sit here and maybe there's music, maybe there's not. And we're just enjoying life together. Mm-hmm. And we look out the window and we see something together and you look back at me and smile and I smile at you without any words. That's prayer. Like in another sense of I'm just enjoying the communion with God and I'm just aware that he's with me and I'm with him. And there's things that I see during the day and I just smile and he smiles. And it's like, man, it's so good to be in communion with God today.
Yeah, that's right.
And no words were exchanged.
One of my favorite quotes about prayer, Jay loves this quote from Karl Barth, is in prayer, God invites us to live with him.
Mm.
And I think that's what you mean. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not like in prayer, God invites us to ask him things. He does. But really, it's just living with him in all the ways of life that we do and that our heart aligns with his. We become aware of his perspective about things and we're just living life with him.
Yep.
That's what makes prayer so profound and beautiful and important.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good, John. I just add, even with Eugene says, turn the internal dialogue just to God dialogue.
Yeah.
And then you'll be praying.
Mm-hmm.
And I always found that really helpful.
Right.
Because I have an internal dialogue that I'm talking a lot to myself. In reality, turn that internal to just God talk.
And I bet a lot of those things you're talking about to yourself are like worries that you have.
Right.
Right?
Totally.
And what does the Lord say? Right. Cast your anxieties on him.
Yeah.
You know? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, when you're spinning on something, that is such a good word. Like, don't just spin about it. Tell the Lord about it. Like, I'm really worried about this. What do I do about it? Help me.
Right.
How do I handle this? Like, answer, you know?
Yeah.
And that's part of praying.
That is part of praying. What a great series we're in. And I'm looking forward to this next 6 weeks of more prayers from the New Testament. 6 more weeks, right?
6 more weeks.
Because we did 7 because it's a...
Sounds biblical.
Sounds biblical.
It also helps that the series ends at end May.
Yeah.
We start a summer series in June.
But for the listeners today, we just encourage you to step in, really dig into these New Testament prayers, pick up some habits that maybe have disappeared, maybe new habits, reinvigorate your prayer life, because it is such a joy that we get to talk to our Father. And what a joy that Jesus Christ did that on our behalf while we were still sinners, died for us so that we could enjoy what he enjoyed with the Father. Let me leave you with this. Also, just know in this series that the podcast, The Weekly, is going to pause through the month of May. We're going to pick it up this summer. We look forward to that as we celebrate the 200th episode.
You need some time off after 200 episodes?
You know... It's we don't call it May, we call it mayhem sometimes. Just a lot of things going on and a lot of crisscrossing. So let me end it this way. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Calvary, so good that you're tuning in. We love you. Look forward to seeing you very soon.
Congratulations, Jay, on 200 episodes.